3, 2, 1, and we are live.
Welcome back, everybody. This is season 3, episode 2 of Fenway Faithful. It's been a little bit of a while. Moses, how are you?
I am great. Baseball is back. Spring training is back. The boys are back, and we are back. This is a fucking amazing time of year to be a baseball fan. Spring training, fans are allowed back in the games. It's hot out in Jersey. Let's fucking go, Dave. How you feeling?
I'm good. Feeling a little bit sleepy, but I'm okay. It is beautiful here in Jersey. I think we're going to get up to like 70 degrees today, if I heard correctly. So definitely going to try to enjoy some of that warm weather. And I advise everybody does as well. We're well deep into spring training. The boys have been kicking ass. We've seen some progress. We've heard some news. There's a lot going on in the Red Sox world right now. If some of you guys have been paying attention, so let's get into it.
All right, let's go. Let's start with some pitching. Chris Sale, looking like he'll be back in May. I'm pretty excited about it. He is up to par with his pitching and his throwing program. And Dave, he wants to be a Red Sox at the end of his career.
I could definitely see that happening. I think Chris Sale feels at home with this team. Just in his personality, the way he plays, the way his approach is to this game. I can definitely see that. And I'm excited for him to come back. I know a lot of us were hoping that he'd be ready at the beginning of the season, but you know, things take time, and time is of the essence. So I'm definitely excited to see Chris Sale back on the mound. And we're looking, like you said, around May, right?
Looking around May, this was the quote he put out in his press conference last week, speaking about how he wants to be a Red Sox for his career. Chris Sale on possibility. This is the quote. Chris Sale on possibility of retiring in Boston. This was him. 100%, I have nowhere else to go. I have nowhere else to be. This place is top-notch. They're unbelievable, and I love it here. I feel comfortable there. They take care of me, and we win. That's what I want to hear from our apes right there coming off Tommy John. He wants to be there.
Absolutely. I mean, what more could you ask for? That's a guy right there who has a game plan already set in stone. And, you know, he knows where he wants to be. Simple as that. You couldn't ask for more. So, you know, obviously we will be keeping an eye on Chris Sale's return and expecting a big performance from him this year.
It's been a big year for him. I feel it. And the whole pitch, I kind of feel like this whole pitching staff is ready to go. Eduardo Rodriguez is another one.
Yeah.
Came out and said, don't count us out. You know,
he's
basically all in, and he's coming off an injury with the heart condition he had due to his COVID. I mean, this is what you want to see in your pitching staff go. Eduardo Rodriguez came out and said, don't sleep on us. That's his quote that he put to the media. I mean, Ottavino wants to be the closer. Eduardo Rodriguez wants to be that. Nathan Eovaldi and Martin Perez is talking about pitching on the live. I don't know if you were able to watch the live the Red Sox put out the other day, episode 1 of their spring training. They're talking about how they want to be better than they were last year. This team's motivated. I'm liking everything I'm seeing, and it's not just talk like it was last year. It's action speaking louder than the talking. And that's what I love.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, let's go back to a little earlier this season, you know, and like spring training or offseason, but Chaim Bloom has definitely equipped us with the tools that we need to the best of his ability at that. I think that now we have a bullpen and pitching lineup where it's just like, all right, now you guys got to fucking fight for your starting spots here. It's not like last year where we were kind of lacking that. I think Chaim Bloom has definitely prepared us and has equipped us with the tools that we need for a successful season. And it just basically comes down to who's going to play what, you know, what role in this bullpen.
I agree. I mean,
I'm definitely excited for that.
I'm loving everything in spring training, even the downs of spring training. You know, they've lost some, they won some. I don't look at that column, but I mean, let's really look. They brought back Perez. They brought in Garrett Richards. They brought in Ottavino. You know, Darwin Hernandez is going to be lights out this year. He's looking impressive. I mean, he's making moves that we really didn't see last year. We saw bits and pieces, but now we're really seeing moves that is doing it. Matt Andrade is another one. I mean, he's making a lot of moves I like. Last year it was like a little bit of pepper. This year we got salt and pepper on this.
Yeah, exactly. There's a, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, last year it was a little bit of sense of like, damn, like, do we have enough? And now it's like, yeah, we got enough. We just got to find the right guys to do it. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that I think that we're definitely going to have to find our groove in the beginning of the season, but we're definitely equipped to do it. So,
and he kept key pieces. He brought back Barnes. He brought back Philip Valdez. I mean, he's mixing and matching a lot of good pieces in this bullpen. Not to mention the young guys in Pavetti and Huck, Tanner Huck. I mean, those are key pieces right there.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I mean, so as far as how are we looking spring training wise? I know we've been winning a couple games. I think it was last week we scored almost like what? I think it was almost like 30 runs in 2 days or something like that.
Yeah, it's about 27 runs in 3 games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw they had a nice little 2-3 day groove there where they were kicking ass. And as of lately, it's just been close games, close calls. But, you know, we're trying out these young guys. We're trying out this young talent, trying to see where we find ourselves comfortably with these new prospects and just giving guys opportunities to go out there and improve themselves, but also seeing what works best for us as a team. So that's what spring training is for.
You know? You know, a lot of, you know, I'm liking what I'm seeing. You know, Bogaerts is out with an elbow injury. He's looking to be in the lineup next week for an AB or two. But Jonathan Oz, who was on the team last year, who was a walk-on, he got invited back, and he's stepping up in a huge way. Bobby Dalbec Jr. is fucking killing it right now.
He is.
He is on another level of fucking freak. He hit a ball yesterday that hasn't landed yet. Michael Chavez is fucking crushing it. Kiki fucking Hernandez. What a deal. That's a high and blue move of the offseason. I'm calling it right now.
It is, man. And let me tell you something. Like, that's one of the biggest – that was one of the biggest assets I think we had in the offseason. Like, Kiki is an upbeat guy. He always wants to compete. He always has people, you know, on their toes. He makes it the dugout laugh. He's definitely an asset to this ball club right now. And along with him just being buddies with Verdugo – that was a big pickup for us, man. And I think that's going to add so much to that clubhouse in this coming season. I can't have but anything but high hopes and just happy feels about this upcoming season.
100%. And I love the chemistry him and Verdugo have in the clubhouse together.
Yeah,
those guys are exciting to watch, bro.
Exactly.
I mean, LA, I understand LA got Betts and we got Verdugo. But letting Kiki walk, they lost a lot. They lost a lot of energy, I feel, on that move there. I mean, Kiki Hernandez, bro, I could watch his Instagram lives all day. His stories are fucking great. The guy, the best part about the Red Sox live they had the other day, Cora's like, oh, Kiki, you have on sleeves today. How nice of you. Like, because he's cutting the sleeves off all his shirts. It's fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. You know, sometimes especially now, like going, like with all the stuff we've been going through, like as a country with like the whole COVID thing. And for us, you know, baseball is that thing we turn to kind of cheer us up, make us laugh, put a smile on our face. It's good to have that sense of, hey, man, everything's going to be okay. Like
it really is, you know, and it goes back to last year. You know, this time we got shut down. I think we started season two about almost around this time last year. And we were like, what the hell are we going to talk about? And we tried our best to give everybody content. But looking into what like made the state of New Jersey something again, not the country, I can't speak for the country, was the state of New Jersey had that Last Dance high school tournament last year where they were on TV and everybody get around for 3 hours and watch it in the gyms and stuff. And it's like baseball help heals everything. And it's really helping heal our country, and getting to watch the Red Sox and watch Verdugo and Kiki Hernandez have dance-offs, you can't beat that.
Yeah,
You really fucking get.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, like, you know, it's funny because I was reading something yesterday how basically the NBA All-Star game received its lowest ratings in history. In history.
Well, I feel like the NBA, just they haven't gotten it, you know? Like, NFL, they got it, what they had to do. And I feel like hockey has gotten it. Like, hockey is, like, the highest watched hockey's been in 20 years. Viewed the most on TV right now, and even the Devils opened up their fans this last week, and I can't get a ticket; they're sold out. So it's like basketball just haven't gotten it. Like when I watch it, it's like it's becoming a real boring sport. It's, you know, people say baseball is boring, and I'm a sports junkie. I'll watch fucking thumb wrestling on ESPN.
But you know what too though, like also, like, I feel like, and not to get too deep into it, but basically, like, basketball has become very political.
I was going to say that. They're touching on too much.
I think a lot of people have an issue with that. And I think that's what is so, like, people are turned off by it. Because notice, like, baseball has never been one to dip into politics. Like, it didn't happen last year. It didn't happen, you know, the year before that. Baseball is baseball. They play, and that's it. And I think the NBA is starting to lose a sense of focus on that. But it is what it is, you know. Can't go too deep into it. But anyways, let's talk about a topic that a lot of people, I'm sure, have been kind of entertained by. Let's talk about this whole fucking Johnny Damon DUI video.
Brother, our inbox on our gram has been going off all day. People sending me clips, snips of Johnny Damon. He's going through some shit, bro. He's going on a downward spiral to some shit.
So basically, I heard about it maybe 2 days ago, right? Now videos have surfaced of the actual DUI arrest. So in the beginning of the video, you see Johnny is in the back of his vehicle talking to the officer, and he's asking him questions, and you could just tell he's shit-faced. I mean, no question about it. Like, you know, we've all been there, whatever. And then his wife or girlfriend gets out of his wife gets out of the vehicle and she starts talking shit to the cop.
Yo, she goes off on him. Did you hear what the cop statement was?
He was basically trying, like, he was like, yo, get back in the car. I'm talking to Johnny right now. Like, he told her to get in the car multiple times.
The cop said he wasn't even going to do him anything but like a seatbelt ticket and follow him home. And the wife gets out blasting him, like, who the fuck are you?
Well, at the end of the day, I will say, just from observing, Johnny was clearly fucking wrecked, bro. My boy was gone.
When he got out of prison, the TMZ, he was fucked. His agent was like, all right, let's go. He's like, I didn't want to say, let's go. You know, I'm so sorry. He was like that drunk uncle at the party who, like, dipped his dick in the fucking pie. He said, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God, man. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad, dude. Like, I was just like, come on, Johnny. Like, and here's the thing. A lot of people don't really care because of Johnny's exit from Boston, even though he played a big role in that, you know, breaking the
code. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I felt like the idiots, that crew, like, it was one of the most beloved teams in Boston history, obviously, for breaking the curse. But, you know, then Johnny did the Benedict Arnold thing, and he became a fucking Yankee.
Yeah, and, you know, he's gone through some shit. Because, like, lately, like, all of a sudden, he would tell all these stories about how the Red Sox mistreated him. They never even called him to come back. Like, Johnny, stop. You weren't, you know, he was a part of it, but he wasn't the fucking Manny Ramirez, Big Poppy of it. Like, you were fucking Johnny Damon. You had long hair and a beard at the time. And you went for the money, just like Ellsbury did, and you fucking ran. And honestly, just like fucking Betts just did. Betts wanted the money too, and everybody departed, and they all left. They all thought it was greener on the other side. And hey, Mookie got a ring out of it, so I'm not mad at him. But Damon, go fuck yourself with all this. You know, he's coming out now like, oh, they didn't call me. They didn't want me. Bro, relax. You weren't that important at the time, obviously. And now he's going through this. And did you see the video I sent you, how homeless he looked?
He looks wrecked, man.
he made Manny Ramirez's David Ortiz picture last year look good. He looks hit.
I mean, the way I see it is just like, listen, he's just going through some bullshit right now. He needs to get his shit together. Like, listen, man, it's cool to go get a drink, bro, but I don't know what's going on in your fucking life that you're getting pulled over in a DUI and your wife's fucking barking at cops. Like, that shit needs to end.
Brother, you sound like his future sponsor right now. You wanna slide in his DMs?
Yeah, you know what, man? I'm about to go to AA with Johnny Damon, all right?
Hey, brother, here's my shoulder. You want to cry on it? Yeah, that shit was crazy. You know what Johnny Damon needs? This is what will help Johnny Damon next time he just pulled over. It's real simple. You know what he needs?
Some ass.
No, Johnny Damon needs a FenwayFaithfulSports.com t-shirt or some Wikipedia gear on. That's what he needs. That whole put ass in your button down and whatever the fuck he wears to it.
My man. Yeah, Johnny, go get you some wicked pissa gear, and you better use that code FFS15 as fucking deals.
We know you need to save some money there, Damon, all right? So go get some fucking wickedpissa.com gear and help yourself out. Feel like you just rolled out of a fucking garbage can, like Oscar Grouse. And whatever
maybe your next DUI arrest, maybe you'll look more presentable for TMZ.
For real? I'm looking like Renegade from the 1993 TV show.
I'm looking like the Geico caveman.
I'm so sorry. Let's go, Johnny. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Laugh at you. How'd you say 50% on this DUI, motherfucker?
Judge, relate to the promo code. I'm trying to save some money here.
Oh man.
We put that on the rails.
Oh man. So basically, what's gonna happen with this guy? Like,
you tell me, you're his sponsor.
Well, fuck. You know, I talked to Chaim Bloom. We're looking at bringing him back, kind of reinstating him into the Red Sox organization. And
he's gonna be on the fucking Daryl Strawberry.
Johnny Damon. Oh my God, bro. Damon had. Oh, mind you, he was four times the legal limit. Okay.
Yo, the thing blew up. He blew it. It fucking blew up in the cop's hands.
Holy shit, bro.
What gets me is the cops.
Oh, wait. It gets better. So during. But this is CNN, so I don't know how reliable this is. No offense to anybody out there. But I don't even know why they're saying this, but he goes. So it says ex-MLB star Johnny Damon had four times legal limit after DUI arrest, during which he voiced support for Trump and Blue Lives Matter. Oh, God. My boy, come on. Like, listen, man, I'm for anybody speaking and talking their political affiliations, but not when you're fucking on camera and you're sauced up, my guy.
Yeah, but brother, what gets me is the cop goes, I was going to let him go and follow him home, but his wife started yelling at me. Motherfucker was four times over the limit.
He blew a .30.
No. They said, in one of the reports I read, Johnny Damon could not walk in a straight line. He couldn't find his nose. So they made him take a breathalyzer test. Then after all that, they were going to follow him home and make sure he got there safe and give him a seatbelt ticket. But then his wife got irate for waiting for him and started yelling at the cops.
Yeah.
Per Fox News. What the fuck?
So then he goes on and says, I know people are trying to target me because I'm a Trump supporter. I don't think that has anything to do with the officer's response. And he goes, yeah, it does.
Okay, Renegade.
There. That's why I'm not stopping you, the officer said.
Oh, man.
he saw the driving pattern wasn't on the video that he was being narrated, and yet there was a camera in the car that could have recorded that. Dude. Shut the fuck up, dude. Like, listen, bro. First of all, I do not support anyone driving drunk. If you drink, drive responsibly. Fucking call an Uber, give your keys to somebody. You know, that's the best thing to do. You know what I mean?
Facts.
Dude, you're Johnny Damon. People know who the fuck you are. And listen, if I'm a cop, I don't care how many fucking World Series you've won. If you're shipwrecked, like I'm gonna do my job. I gotta make sure you're safe and everybody else is safe. But apparently Johnny was just, you know, trying to push the limit and trying to like get away from it, but he couldn't even talk right. He was slurring his words.
Motherfucker, know what I paid? $9 for overnight parking. Where the fuck he was?
Oh man, what was he driving? A fucking, what is that?
A Honda Odyssey.
This motherfucker was driving a Subaru Outlander.
He was driving a smart car.
He wouldn't look like he drove a smart car. Cut your fucking hair. Jesus Christ. Be a man.
He was so homeless.
Oh my God, bro.
Johnny Damon is the renegade.
Yeah, man. Well,
before we go, let's go over today's lineup versus the Twins. It's March 11th.
You got it, bro. Go ahead. Come on, be serious.
All right, here we go. Leading off, playing center field, Kiki Hernandez. That's Devin Bates. Marwin Gonzalez. Batting third in the DH hole, JD Martinez. Batting fourth, Rafi Two-Scoops Devers. Batting fifth, playing short, Christian Arroyo. Batting sixth, playing first base, Michael Chavez. Batting seventh, behind the ditch, Devin Pulecki. Batting eighth, playing right field, Michael Geddes. Batting ninth, playing left field, Marcus Wilson. And today's starting pitcher, Eduardo Rodriguez. Game time, 1:05.
And that's Eastern time.
Eastern time, yeah.
All right. Well, guys, as usual, it's been a pleasure. One thing, Moses, who are we playing today?
We're playing the Twins at the Twins facility, which is right in Verona, Fort Myers, the Central Link Sports Complex. Very nice.
Yeah, definitely. So, guys, keep an eye out for that. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We can't wait for the season to get here. The more we get in, the more the Red Sox get going, the more we will have to bring to you guys. And remember one thing, drink responsibly. Don't be a Johnny Damon.
Oh, and also look out for Flow Show Podcast. I'll be on it this week talking about the Red Sox spring training. It's a Florida podcast.
All right, guys. Yeah, Flow Show Podcast. We'll definitely keep an eye out for that. Moses, it's been a pleasure, sir. Until next time, everybody, we love you. Be safe, guys.
Drive responsibly.